Is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. There's a comedian talking about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Let's go.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Coming to you on PARockShow.com, BillDeSeen.com, RootaRooRadio.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. This is episode number 437, and with me tonight are PJ, Chris, and Jeff from the band Leprosy out of Pittsburgh. What's up, gentlemen?
How's it going?
Much. Thank you for having us on. Yeah, no. Definitely. Thank you for having us on.
No problem. So we were chatting a little bit off the air, and what genre, like, I don't want to say death metal because there's so many different subgenres of metal and I don't want to get it wrong. What would you say you are?
I would say, well, if you had to do a generic term, it would be death metal. However, like you're saying, there's a lot of subgenres. Subgenre that I like to call us, which is original splattergore metal. And with splattergore metal, that's basically a mix of horror, theatrics on stage, and death metal with the same type of vocal stylings of death metal, gutturals and highs and such.
And it's like if you take in an 80s B horror movie and put it and make a song out of it.
That's about it. Blood and gore. It gives you the visual, as well as the audio.
You guys have been doing this for 30 years. That's
indeed. It's 3 decades of good old blood and gore.
So you've seen amazing amounts of changes in the scene, I'm gonna guess.
Yeah, I've been there at the very top of the popularity as well as the decline, and then we're just plateaued, and now it's making this comeback, being built back up with like some of the old school bands are still around, and some of the newer ones that are coming around and keeping the same traditional sense by putting their own twist on things.
What are some venues that you've seen that have gone that you wish were still around?
Let's go through our list. Let's see. City Limits would definitely be one. That was my all-time favorite place to play. We've played with so many headliners there, like Cannibal Corpse, Malevolent Creation, Entombed, Sleep, Unsane, just Napalm Death. We play with multiple bands there. Electric Banana, that was one of the first couple venues that the band played at down in Oakland. That's I think it's probably equivalent to CBGB's up in CBGB's. Is that New York? Yeah, that'd be New York. Yes. Yeah, and it's probably equivalent to that. Those would probably be the two major ones, at least for myself.
The Altar Bar. I mean, yeah, I've seen a lot of good bands there, and that was the first time I saw Leprosy was at the Altar Bar.
Yeah, that was a very good venue. I liked that as well.
Yeah.
Not many people liked it, but I did, at least.
No, it was it was nice for the bands playing, because even the locals had space. We had space to store our equipment. We had a green room to go to hang out. Whereas a lot of the venues now, like, find somewhere to put your stuff, guys. Have fun.
Nice big show your corner.
Set your guitars there. Step over 2 feet. There's your stage.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. If you're lucky, there's some places if you're lucky, have a stage.
Mm-hmm. Like that outdoor show we did.
Yeah.
that was gravel, sir.
One thing I was happy about is I got to play at the 31st Street Pub before they closed.
Oh, you know what? I did forget about that. Yeah, definitely 31st for sure. Joel and 31st.
Yeah, I got to play there with Leprosy one time before they closed up, and I didn't even know they were closing. Like, we played it, and I was like, oh, cool, it'll be nice to come back here, and then it was gone.
Yeah, literally, like, a week later, if that.
Let's learn a little bit about you guys. If I was to look at your music collections, what would I see in each of your collections?
PJ, you want to take that one first?
I listen to the array of different things I listen to is extremely broad. I'll listen to everything from old school, like hair metal, to Eminem, to In This Moment, to Johnny Cash. Obviously, I listen to death metal, old school death metal, new death metal. I'll listen to just about anything if I can get into it. Really, about the only things I don't listen to is like some of the more modern rap and country. Other than that, that's about, and pop, and that's really about my, the only limits I can think of on something that I would immediately turn away. But other than that, I'll listen to just about anything.
I think for myself, it's the I can go from gangster rap, I know, believe it or not, to classical to death metal. I mean, it's just like PJ. I'm not as broad with the spectrum of music that I listen to, but it's definitely open. It's not just pigeonholed to one particular genre. Jeff?
Yeah, definitely. Like you guys said, a lot of heavy metal, old school stuff, like Black Sabbath I grew up on, and Led Zeppelin and whatnot. I like a lot of classic rock, and even like some jazz and classical I'm real into. But pretty, like PJ said, pretty much just not like new that rap, that trap stuff, and like some newer country, pop country, but old country is cool.
You probably don't like half of the things that I like, so.
Probably not. You're a little more open-minded, but I'm on a different side, too.
Yeah.
Where did the band name Leprosy come from?
It came from the band Death, their sophomore release of Leprosy that came out, I believe, I want to say it was November 12th or something very close to that, and shortly thereafter, that's when the... I took that name and used it for the band, just because I was overwhelmed by how great that album was and how much I enjoyed Death and the music that they provided. So I figured, what better way to show my respect is to take the name of their album and make it our band name, and then just keep make sure that the music, of course, that we deliver is equal to, or I'll say, I can't say better, but equal to what Death would put out.
I don't want to go there. Here, I'll give you a tough question. If there was an apocalyptic event and very few people survived and only one Leprosy song makes it through the event, so the rest of history, there will only be one Leprosy song.
Oh, jeez.
See, I told you it was going to be hard.
That's just like picking your favorite child.
So like,
damn. I think for myself, probably it would be Baptized and possibly the one I would want.
Anybody else want to take that one?
That is a tough one. Damn. Right. I'm rethinking my
now you're second guessing your choices.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I'd say either Cadaver or Baptized in Pus.
It is a tough one.
Yeah, that is. I don't know, I'd probably have to go either Gore or Formaldehyde and Seek. Those are the ones that really hit the pace for me.
And see, the reason behind that question is so that the listeners that aren't familiar with you now know which songs they should go listen to.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Very well played.
And they're all fun to play.
And along those lines, let me ask this question. And this is this question I ask of every band. It isn't just a metal question, even though it's going to sound like one. So if we were to play a Leprosy song backwards, what would we hear?
A lot of noise. Scratching.
I don't know, but I kind of want to get, a couple of our songs on vinyl and do it backwards now, just to
see,
just to see what would happen.
Probably be like, listen to metal, pet cats, something like that.
John is dead.
See, I'm going to give away all my secrets. Now, that question is from the joke, what do you get when you play a country song backwards?
Get your, when you get your wife back, your truck back, and dog back?
Yeah, basically.
Oh. Nice. I never heard that one. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys one more question in this segment. We'll take a break, and I'll play some Leprosy for the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe have some Divine Tragedy. They're kind of, I mean, they're not as heavy as you guys.
They're cool. They're a cool band. We know them. They're good people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what I'll do. We'll pair up a Divine Tragedy and Leprosy in the break. I have lots of Divine Tragedy, though. Let's see. You guys familiar with any of their songs, or you just want me to pick one?
Just pick one. I'm not that familiar.
Okay. Okay, so that's what we'll do after this next question. If you could open for any internationally touring band, current or dead, which band would it be, and where would you want to play with them?
For myself, I would pick Will Death. And I would play anywhere they're playing. It wouldn't make a difference to me. But if I had to pick a huge venue, I'd say Hellfest would be good.
Anybody else want to take that one?
The one that's been hanging over me for a long time that I've wanted to do would be open for Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
I don't know, the Chicago Open Air Fest would be pretty cool.
I was thinking that'd be really cool to play to open for, like, Behemoth. I was going to say Cannibal Corpse. I want to hear what he said first. But Behemoth would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be another awesome one.
Like, Mayhem Fest, I always like going to that.
Or Wacken.
Yeah.
Or
shit, even just down at the Rex.
Yeah.
Man, why don't I?
Yeah.
Bring them to your backyard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do have some good memories at the Rex already.
Mm-hmm.
Since Side over there. Yeah, that was
Rock and Grooms.
And Venom Inc.
Yeah.
Venom was over at Alter.
My bad.
Yeah, that was Alter.
Then Arch Goat was over there too, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, Carrick Angren was over at...
That was Rex.
Dude, I love playing with that band. They're very, very, very cool.
What was that band's name?
Karak Angren. Okay. I hope I'm pronouncing it.
I think it's... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's how you pronounce it.
Because I was sitting here thinking, man, maybe I should play Diesel Beast with these guys. They're a band out of Denton, Texas. And their bass player's name is Carrick. And then you said that, and I was like, wait, what? All right, so maybe I'll play three. We'll play Leprosy, we'll play Diesel Beast, and we'll play Divine Tragedy. And we'll be right back with Leprosy.
Sounds great.
Brilliant. All right. We'll be right back.
days of ice. And out of the night steps a terrifying sight, whose face it can no longer recognize. 1,000 bloody nights of sword and flame, 1,000 bloody nights of death and pain. The man who's forced to fight 1,000 bloody nights will never make it back to you the same. We'll be right back.
Some stones.
Hey, it's Bill. You're tuned in to episode number 437 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show, PARockShow.com. With me tonight are PJ, Chris, and Jeff from the band Leprosy. And they are about to celebrate 30 years as a band on November 17th, I believe.
Oh, yeah. November 17th it is.
And you want to throw out that show information now?
Yeah, it's going to be November 17th. It's going to be a Saturday. That's going to be at the Subalpine. It's down in Turtle Creek, Pennsylvania. And I'm trying to think. It's right on the outskirts of Monroeville, but probably about 20 minutes from Pittsburgh. What do you think, PJ? Jeff?
Yeah, it's about right. Yeah, it's right on the outskirts of North Versailles and Monroeville.
Yep.
If you can find the Walmart over in North Versailles, you can find the Subalpine. It's right down the hill.
Yeah, exactly.
And what other bands are playing with you that night?
Okay, let me just get the list here. We have Sath and Oss. They're actually going to be, they're a black and death metal band. They've been around for pretty much as long as we have. They're a great band, great bunch of guys. So we have Shattered Soul. They're on the bill as well. We have the band Riperion. They're a newer band, as well as the Human Tragedy. Those guys have just been out probably for maybe a little bit under a year, so they'll be opening up the shows. We have a total of five bands. It's going to be 10 at the door. We have it marked at 18 and up, even though originally we had it at all ages, but some of the stuff that may transpire at the show may demand a little bit of higher rating as far as getting age-wise people. Mm. Yeah, they have there's going to be food specials, drink specials. It's just going to be a bunch of great music, great band, great people, and it's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, it's a killer lineup. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want to give a shout out to the venue, too. They've been really good to us since they started really taking on doing shows down there.
Yeah, our buddy Subalpine's Josh. Blowing up.
Yeah, our buddy Josh sets it all up down there. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're always good to us. They want us back there more than we can even be there.
Yeah, that's true.
I just thought of a name that I wanted to throw out first. You guys know Chris Seco?
The name sounds familiar.
I don't think so.
It doesn't ring a bell for me.
You played a metal show a couple months ago. It was all metal, and there were I think Jonna was there. There were some out of like international bands there too.
Oh, the Metal Fest.
Oh, Slam Fest.
That's the one. Yeah. I sold him a car that week, and he was telling me that he was going to that show, and you guys were one of the bands he mentioned.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a good show. They had a band from the Czech Republic there, Greece. I mean, it was really, literally an international show.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I want you guys to create a all-star metal band, and you can pick genre. I'm just going to go metal, from bands that you've played with over the time you've been together. You're not allowed to pick anybody that's in Leprosy, and you have to tell me if they're in a current band, what band they're in. See, this one's hard, too.
I actually need a pen and paper on this. All right.
Yeah, there's research.
I have a rubric here, too.
Oh, man, I'm so bad with names.
I was in a band with Jake McMullen from Post Mortal. He's a great guitar player, very driven, works really hard, writes really great music. It's probably have to go there. I don't know. What do you guys think about Gizzy on bass?
Well, okay. It's a group thing. Okay, whew, that makes it a little bit easier. Okay.
Yes.
I thought it was like an individual thing. Yeah, okay. No. Good. Now, I would say Gizzy on bass, or I would say Tim when he used to be in Post Mortal. He was a good bass.
Yeah, Tim
player.
Church. Yeah. Yeah, Tim's really good too.
Brian from Post Mortal is good.
Are you guys making Post Mortal?
I guess we're whatever. No, they're very cool guys. It's let me think here. Drumming wise, I think. I don't know, what do you guys think?
I don't know.
I'll say even a bit, even at I just listened to him once, but the one drummer from Infilod, he was very good.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a very good drummer. I was really surprised. I mean, he's on point with everything.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't know either. As far as vocals, if this has to be local bands, Jeff, go ahead, you take that one.
Oh, I'm afraid you know way more people than I do.
PJ? I don't know, but I think I might have to give a shout out to my boy Bob Cecil and Horrid Ordeal.
Mr. Cecil? All right.
Yeah, I've always liked what he did vocally.
Yeah, it's like that raw thrash, a real feeling. You could feel it. It's not just going through the motions. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Okay, so
and he's very bass, drums, vocals. He's very alive on he's a very alive on stage too. There's a lot of vocalists that just stand there.
Yeah, Bob. Character. Yeah, it's Bob is his own entity, man. There's no taking that away from
him. Speaking of on stage and antics. Now I'm going to put you guys on the spot, but kind of reverse.
Okay.
I want each of you to tell me about a embarrassing moment on stage, except it needs to be someone else in the band, not you, that it happened to.
Oh.
Okay.
There's plenty of embarrassing ones that happened to me.
I'll go first on this one for because I'm getting old and all that. All right. So our old guitarist, exactly. We used to have our one guitarist. He went by Zombie Mike. And we were on stage the one time, and he was headbanging so hard that his dentures flew across the stage. And you could almost see them chattering like you do, like an old Bugs Bunny cartoons or like going across the stage. It was like, so it was like that's when I was on drums at one time, and I just watched it in slow motion. Like, I can't believe this is really happening. Dude, hilarious. That was one of the funniest things that I've ever seen.
Okay, here I got one, and got one flashing back to you on drums. This was before I was even in the band.
I know where you're going to.
This was Chris's first show on drums, and I was with Eyes Burnt Shut with Jake and Mark Palmieri, Chris DeSell, who just recently passed away. But Chris was on drums for Leprosy, and his tom flew off the kit and rolled completely off the stage.
Oh, dude, too. Yeah. I remember. I just kept going. I'm like, I can't believe this. It just rolled right away. I was like, see ya. It's good.
I don't know. I believe I've seen Chris, you know, his strap came off in the middle of a song before.
Yeah, that does suck when you got to drop like James Brown.
So you're doing that dance trying to get it back on while you're playing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. That's horrible.
But I mean, I've dropped like picks plenty of times too.
I just keep thinking about the beat chattering. Just keep thinking across the stage, man. That's awesome.
Could you guys tell me when you realized that you wanted to be in a metal band? Like, what made you think that's what I want to do?
Oh, man. You guys want to go first?
Growing up watching and like listening to Tony Iommi and Black Sabbath, I always wanted to be in like a heavy band after that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was, I don't know, probably sometime early teens, and it just music, you know, music was just there. It was part of me. It was part of my life. I was that kid with riding the bus to and from school with a CD player in my pocket. Yes, kids that are listening, there was a time where you had to have a whole CD player to try and stuff it in your hoodie pocket. You didn't have it on your phone. And,
I used to listen to cassettes on a Walkman.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm with you. Yep.
But I'm not even about to try and explain that archaic technology.
I owned one 8-track, too. That'll show you.
Nothing wrong with that.
But it was just, and I was never, you know, that may sound like cliche or whatever, but I was never the popular kid. You know, I was, you know, kind of on the outside of the popularity contest, and you know, music was always there for me. It was a release, and it latched on, and I wanted to be a part of it in one way or another. And then I got in my first band when I was 18, and been doing it ever since.
I think for myself, what really wanted me to go into a metal band is when I started really listening to like Judas Priest, like Scream for Vengeance, Defenders of the Faith, and of course Sabbath, because Sabbath is also always going to be a go-to as far as any type of metal musicianship. That Iron Maiden, and I'm even going to say Kiss, because back, you know, there was a time when, at least in my opinion, that Kiss was really cool. And just like you're saying, as far as an A-track, that was actually one of my first A-tracks, was Kiss Alive 2. That was my first one. And
I didn't have them on A-track, but I still have them on vinyl.
Do you? Yeah, you know what? Actually, my first vinyl that got me hooked on was Love Gun Kiss.
That's what I had.
Yeah, because you know what? The reason why I bought it, because it had chicks on there and it looked metal as hell. Even though I didn't know what metal meant at that moment, but I knew that's what I wanted.
Having been some of you in the scene a little longer than others,
thank you.
what do you think? Give me one thing that you think is great about the scene today, and one thing that you wish would go away.
You guys want to take that one first?
For me, it's both the same thing. It's social media. It's a great tool, but at the same time, it's a great tool for promotion. It's so easy to put a Facebook blast out there for a show, and get the word out, or you know, a new single, or oh hey, check out this radio show we're gonna do. But at the same time,
you should definitely do that last one.
It's already been done.
Okay.
But in the same respect, it allows for a lot of that false support, is what I call it, because it's, you get people, oh yeah, I'll like that post, but then they never show up to the show. Yeah, I'm interested in that show, but they're never there. And it's just, I don't know, it feels like if you were able to talk to somebody face to face about it, there's more of a likelihood that they're going to come, because you can sell it better. You can put your influence on it. You can try and convince them. And I always feel like people are more likely to actually do something if they tell somebody in person, hey, yeah, I'll be there, as opposed to just saying, yeah, I'm interested in this show. And then they forget about it. It never comes across their mind again.
I think I'm going to go ahead and piggyback off that. I have to agree with that. Social media, it is a great promotional tool, and it does allow you to reach more people in a broader sense. However, like just reiterate what PJ was saying, as far as talking to people, like back in the day, and I'll use back in the day, well, because I'm 47 and I can say that. That there was no internet or anything like that, where people, like PJ was saying, you know, you talk one on one. And there's just more. I think even though the scene is starting to flourish now, I think at a certain time, like say back in the late 80s or even early 90s, I think there was more people would come out to shows, because there wasn't that, I'll call it a quote unquote laziness factor, where, just as PJ was saying, you could click on a link and say, oh yeah, I like it, I support your band, as opposed to when that wasn't available, you actually went out to the shows, you actually, you know, made friends and build more of a family base, where people will be at shows every week and all that. It just makes people lazy. And not everybody, but just generalization, it does make people lazy, and don't want to leave the house when they can go to a show.
I feel like I need to bring up John Lane, who you guys may or may not know. John's lead singer of the band, the Hellfire Club out of Akron.
Oh, John Lane?
Yeah, John Lane. You know him?
Yeah, I know John.
Yeah. And his belief is that the problem now with the scene is, like, trying to get people to come out to show is, you know, everyone wants to be entertained. Except now you can sit down and you can watch Netflix, or you can watch Hulu, or you could go to YouTube and see the bands playing. And he thinks a big part of it is that, you know, you can just stay at your house and be entertained.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And that's so true.
I won't tell him that you said he had a good point.
he wouldn't believe you if you told him I told him said that anyway. So. But yeah, I definitely would have to agree with that. I mean, it technology just has enabled people to, just like you said, just stay home to be entertained as opposed to going out and then living that moment and just not mm-hmm. sitting on my couch and, you know, petting a cat.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it is. It's got pros and cons to it.
Well, I agree with what they're saying. I like to see that everybody in the scene, like when I go out to shows, everybody gets along and all the bands seem to, you know, support each other when we're out together.
Cool. I'm going to ask you three more questions.
It's a really cool scene.
I promise one of them will be easy.
All right. I'm still thinking about that super band thing.
I'm still not believing that one of them's going to be easy.
I started off easy, didn't I?
Just easing in.
Where'd the band name come from? That's an easy one.
Yeah,
That's true.
Okay.
Fair.
can you do this one as a group too. Can you name five bands that are currently in the scene that you think the listeners should check out?
One that I just listened to when we played the Subalpine Metal Fest, I really got into them, was The Creature. I'm not sure if they have anything up on their, anything recorded or anything up on their website yet, but if you get a chance to see them at a show, I would definitely recommend it. I really enjoyed their set. I think they put on a really good show.
Yeah, they were cool.
I think for myself, probably you mentioned Divine Tragedy. I mean, they're not a genre that I'm gonna. It's not a go-to genre for me, but they are talented musicians, and I think they're pretty good. And you know, I always have my go-to Post-Mortal. I do love those guys, so that's another one. Jeff.
Yeah, Post-Mortal. Enfilade was cool. I'm trying to look up some names. I'm blanking on names here.
There's one band, even though it's not local to Pittsburgh, one band, Inoculation, that they were at the there was a festival that the Subalpine had. They're actually out of Ohio. They're a very good band. They're like an old school thrash death metal band. So even though it's not Pittsburgh, sorry, you know, they are a great band and should be checked out.
I mean, I brought up Akron.
That's true. That is true.
I can throw out Three Vultures from Akron too, if that makes you feel any better.
Or, there you see.
Let me think. I know some more Ohio bands. I just have to think about it. But those two are easy. John's in
I know he's in Hellfire.
And then his son is the drummer in Three Vultures.
Oh, okay.
So he cheated.
Okay.
What do we get there? Like four? I can let you slide for four. This next one may or may not be easy. What is one thing that your fans would be surprised to know about each of you?
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and let Jeff answer that one first.
Go ahead, Jeff. You take the lead on this one.
I don't know. I'm kind of a gamer nerd, I guess.
He was quick.
I don't know if that's surprising or not.
For myself, I'm a reverend, actually.
Oh.
That's why we call him Father or Paul.
I just call him Dad to show his age and his responsibility level in the band.
Yeah. Hey, I'm still under 50, so not for long, but, you know.
All right, Dad. I guess I'm going to kind of piggyback on Jeff a little bit, but I definitely a huge gamer nerd. Like, play D&D, pen and paper, play Magic, all like RPGs. The amount of money I've spent on cardboard for Magic the Gathering is shouldn't talk about that.
Right. Okay. This one's a two-part question, but it should be the easiest one of the night. Where can people get your music? and what upcoming shows do you have other than the 17th at Subalpine?
Well, the our music can be obtained by a few sites. You can find us on Amazon, Spotify, Bandcamp under Leprosy Official. Facebook is a Leprosy Official as well. CD Baby.
Is our newer stuff on Apple Reverb?
Reverb. No, the reason why is because they only allow up to 5 megabytes per song, if I recall correctly. So it's our songs are longer than that. So anything I try to upload, So on Reverb, we do have we have Open Casket. We'll just call it GB for short.
Thanks.
And you're welcome. And that's actually on air. But other than that, I think it'll be the only newer song on the Reverb. If I'm missing any sites, guys, just chime in.
That sounds about right. Mm-hmm. YouTube, we have a lot of videos on YouTube.
Yeah, we have a shout out to Hughes Shows. We have one of his interviews on YouTube.
Mm. Yeah, oh, Hughes TV. Yeah,
very cool guy. Hughes Shows. I want to say 27 or 29, episode 29.
For you. Yeah, I think 29 sounds right, but I could be really wrong.
That's one of our better videos on YouTube.
Yeah, as far as purchasing music, I mean the best one I will probably say
is to show up at your show.
There you go. You know what? Now we're talking. And you can get things autographed and cool stuff like that, you know?
And our countless amounts of merch that we have that we're still expanding on.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have we're definitely guys gonna have some newer stuff coming out in probably about a week.
Yeah.
The next as far as shows go, the only thing we have lined up right now is our 30th anniversary. Now there might be something. I haven't heard anything from the city paper as of yet. If we've made it, because they had a battle of bands. I think there was like 50 bands on there. I'm not sure if we made cut as far as the final show that's going to be. I believe it's going to be on December 1st or something like that. I haven't heard anything yet. So other than our anniversary show, that's it. That's confirmed as of right now.
Okay.
And we're actually we're planning on using some time over the winter, dial back on shows a little bit and start working on getting out another full length album, get the music written and ready to record.
We're already working on new songs.
Yeah, we have we probably between Jeff and myself, we probably have four, almost five songs written. So it's just getting everybody caught up and all that. So hopefully at the end of next year, we should start recording again.
When that's done, pass it along. I may not be able to say all the names on the show, but I can play them. Well, thanks for being on the show. And
thank you for having us. Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having us. We love coming on and just talking about whatever.
I told you that's how it was going to go.
Yeah,
you weren't kidding. Some of those questions, actually, just some of the couple of those questions, I'm still going to be thinking about. Damn it! We got to wake up like 3 a.m. like, that's the drummer I would want.
Now you have me wondering if I do that to my students. They waking up going, answer was.
I don't doubt it. You've been a great host. The interview was awesome, and thank you so much.
Thank you. So make sure you guys head out to their show at Subalpine on November 17th. What was the starting time on that again?
It's going to start. We're going to have the doors open around 6. The first band's going to go on probably around 6:30, 6:45, and we're going to run it probably till midnight. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Like I was saying, there's going to be 5 bands there, a lot of metal. We're going to have some special things going on with Nuns, Blood, and Theatrics. Mm-hmm. And there might be even the Chainsaw in there, so you don't want to miss this.
So that's why the age limit changed.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not so much. It's going to be a horror movie come to life. That's pretty much what you're going to see when you come to the show. We're going a little bit beyond what we normally do, just because it is the 30th and you only get one of those, and we want to show appreciation, our fans being there and just give them something special to remember.
You'll find out why we call it splatter gore.
Exactly.
Okay.
And
so
we're hoping Chris and Jason make it to 40 years. So
we're give it a shot.
We got to make sure we get the good 30th in.
Knock on wood.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to probably throw out for people that are going to be out in front. We're probably going to throw out some, those ponchos or whatever, just so, you know, just so they don't get all splattered.
Are you saying it's going to be a guar show?
if I can put it to as much as guar does it, I definitely would. But it's, I'd say on a local level, come get a little. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. All right. This has been episode number 437 on the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Check us out each and every week at parockshow.com and all the websites I mentioned earlier. Make sure you go check out that show on the 17th, Subalpine, and follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/leprosyofficial. My name has been Bill, and we'll catch you next week.